Brought to you by North Memorial Health, where customers are treated like family. That means a big smile when you walk in the door and making sure your visit is as pleasant as possible. It's just like your family treats you. Find your healthy family at northmemorial.com/family.
Welcome to another episode of the Access Vikings podcast. My name is Andrew Kramer, joined by Ben Gessling and Michael Rand once again. Hello, gentlemen.
Andrew, how you doing?
Good. A long time no see.
It is.
Hi, Andrew.
We're going to talk about quarterbacks today. You guys ready?
Sexy quarterback. Topic. It's a sexy topic.
Tom Brady to the Vikings. Drew Brees to the Vikings.
Let's start the rumors.
Dak Prescott.
Where's all this money coming from?
Yeah. Let's get all the quarterbacks. You just
playing Madden over here?
You're putting together quite a depth chart if you're signing all those guys.
All three of them, right? Dak is the backup.
Cut everybody.
Tom Brady's the backup.
Andrew's making crazy Madden trades.
It is going to be a heck of an NFL free agent class, though, for quarterbacks. I don't know if you've been on, if you've turned on ESPN or something, you might have seen something about it. A lot of guys are going to be free agents. Not many of them might move around. Maybe Phil Rivers is the biggest name to actually change teams. Still a big name.
I'm surprised that Tom Brady has got this far in, you know, this. I just assumed that all this in January was smoke and that we wouldn't actually be talking about Tom Brady maybe going somewhere else. But it feels more real to me now than it ever thought it would.
There are a couple of reporters nationally that are pretty far out on the limb that Brady's leaving. So now, is that going to be right? I still ultimately think there's a good chance Brady ends up back in New England, but maybe he's had enough. I mean, he figures 6 rings, 20 years is, you know,
is it enough?
How many more? How many rings is ever enough? But
just one more. The musical chairs thing's fascinating, though, because then, if Tom Brady leaves, is Teddy Bridgewater a Patriot? Where's Teddy Bridgewater going? How does this affect the Vikings? Well, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Kirk Cousins is entering his contract year. You might have heard that as well. They need a backup quarterback. Mike Zimmer didn't sound too bullish on Sean Mannion at the NFL scouting combine, so that doesn't really bode well for Sean Mannion's chances of re-signing for the Vikings. Mike Zimmer saying something along the lines of, well, we do need somebody who's going to be able to come in and play when he was asked about possibly drafting a backup and having a rookie backup Kirk Cousins. He said it's not just about preparing Kirk and being that veteran set of eyes. We do need somebody who can come in here and play as well and win games if we need them to.
You do need someone who can ask themselves the question, can I play? The answer to that question needs to be, I know I can play. It's my first Favre in months.
He turned 50 last year. He can still play.
Can he play?
I don't know.
He's a free agent. We should throw him on
the
list.
He's the only one.
Point being, they need a backup quarterback. In terms of the order of business that they need to get to, the first item will probably be signing a backup, potentially, unless they're going to go in and draft one. They've got Jake Browning on the roster. They've got Kirk Cousins. That's it.
When will, if they're going to do a Cousins extension, when do you think, what's the timeline on that? I just want to establish that before we get to the, because I think that influences my answer to that question.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic because I think the fact that you are headed towards the window between the CBA and the new league year being as tight as it is, makes it difficult to get it done because, as I think we talked about a little bit in the paper a couple of weeks ago, if you're playing under the old rules, it's a lot harder to do it than it is if you're playing in a new CBA and you can structure it how you like. The sense I got at the combine was that Cousins likes it here. He's open to it, but don't expect any kind of a hometown discount because, hey, we could really use the cap space and can you help us out sort of thing. I don't think that kind of a pitch is going to work. I think you'd have to do something in the way that deal sets up to make it worth his while to sign it because he's got a fully guaranteed deal for 2020. These things are about leverage and he still has a lot of it. If he doesn't sign, somebody's going to pay him next year.
Yeah.
There's still going to be a team that says, this guy is a competent NFL starter, and we are going to pay market value for that. Market value is going to continue to go up as more quarterbacks sign these deals, as the new CBA comes in, potentially as new media deals are done by that point. There's going to be a lot of money out there for him somewhere. So for him to say, I'm just going to give you a break, I don't think that's going to happen. He fought for that contract that he got for a reason, and I think he intends to use it to his advantage after not having a lot of leverage the last time he went through this in Washington.
Would an extension likely happen before the draft, I guess, is my question.
I think it could.
Okay.
It's one of those things that perhaps it plays a little bit into the summer. I do think they want to do it. I don't think the question is so much of, are they going to sign Kirk Cousins to a contract extension, as when will they do it? What will it look like? Can they do it in time to give themselves help heading into the new league year? Right?
Yeah.
Those are the questions I think that are more pertinent. Is Kirk Cousins going to get another contract here?
Yeah, Kirk, as he's well established, is well aware of his leverage.
Yep.
And kind of being a quarterback and what that entails and the power that that holds contractually. So as you were saying, he's got no reason to rush into this.
Yeah, I wouldn't if I were him.
And you might see, I think fans kind of, there might be this kind of bend in perspective when you see a guy like Tom Brady for years be like, all right, I'll let you, give me $20 million below market value and we'll make it work down the line. And think, well, why can't a quarterback do that for his team?
Because most quarterbacks are not the secondary earner in their family.
No, well, wow, yeah, that's a great point.
Marry a Brazilian supermodel, you can do whatever you want.
That's a great point. But people don't talk about Drew Brees, who never does that for the Saints.
Right.
And they've got all these void years into cap purgatory hell.
Yes, they do.
And it's because of him. And no one has ever complained about that in New Orleans, at least from what I can tell from way over here. So my point is that I guess the normal thing, Tom Brady is the anomaly. His career has been the anomaly. The normal thing is for a guy to hold a team's feet to the fire and say, no, I'm maximizing my earning potential. I don't think anybody should be – my point is nobody should be getting mad at Kirk Cousins if he's not going to do a deal this minute to get them $5 extra million to spend in March.
Well, and the thing with Brady that we don't know, and there's been speculation about this over the years, is we'll figure it out down the line. Does that involve ownership?
Partial ownership, yeah.
When he retires, I mean, is there some kind of a
sure,
backroom yeah. deal? Not that we would ever expect – the Patriots to do anything untoward, but if that existed, maybe that helps explain some of this.
I don't think anybody should be getting mad at Kirk, and frankly, the Vikings have made it clear that they think very highly of him. Rick's quote is, he proved he can win the big game. All signs are they're going to sign him to an extension, and I don't think, Mike, that they're going to draft, let's say, a first-round quarterback in lieu of a contract extension for Kirk.
I wouldn't think so either. That my only question is, like, is that kind of the only way the Vikings could get any kind of leverage in the situation, or are they just
an expensive way to get leverage?
I agree, but is it just, or are they just going to have to pay kind of whatever they have to pay to do this, or do they say, well, you know, we took this person who could be your replacement? I don't know, because they're going to need a number two anyway, right? Like you're talking about, they want somebody who's not Sean Mannion, who could come in and win some games. Although let's also point out that Kirk Cousins has started every game that he's been asked to start for 5 years in a row.
Not only that, he has yet to be on the injury report in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And no, Vikings fans, I did not just knock on wood, because even if I did, actually, you can tell yourself whatever I want, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But he has not been on the injury report.
He's been extremely durable. And that's I don't say underrated thing, but it's something that they have not. In addition
this
to
team,
in addition to stability, that is something that can't be overlooked. Like whatever you think of where he fits into the quarterback echelon, you haven't had to play someone who is obviously worse than him because he's been on the field.
You didn't have Mike Zimmer at the combine going through his quarterback depth chart and talking about whose knee is more degenerative between
right.
several options who could be worthy contenders for that title. That has not happened.
And he had a good year last year.
He did.
I think he did. He was probably in the top 10 of quarterbacks last year in terms of performance.
So the question is for the Vikings, and Mike Zimmer got this question, Ben, as you know, at the combine, how do you keep Kirk's trajectory going north? How do you make sure that how last year wasn't a blip on the radar and his best year ever? How do you make sure that, hey, this guy's worth re-signing to $100 million plus?
I think the biggest thing you have to do is protect him.
That's what Zimmer said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I think it's one of those things where we have not seen him really work behind an offensive line that's as good as what he had in Washington, to say nothing of a line that, I mean, he had a pretty good one in Washington. He was pretty solid, pretty durable for a long time. So, I mean, if that's your standard, we haven't seen him be able to work in that capacity. And he's not the guy, as we've discussed, and I think as he has wistfully talked about potentially being, it's probably not going to happen, but he's not the guy that can make things happen by the seat of his pants.
He's not a freelancer.
Case Keenum, who did a lot of that. There's plenty of quarterbacks around the league that do that at a higher level. You know, like the one we saw in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes, and we seen Aaron Rodgers do it. We've seen Russell Wilson do it. He's not that guy. So he needs things around him to be stable for this all to work as well as it possibly could. And I think all things considered, he did a pretty good job of it last year when the line was still, as we talked about earlier in the week, not as bad, but still not great. But I think if you put a solid group in front of him, that helps him a lot.
Yeah, the telling line to me was Zimmer said, and Mike, this should pull at your heartstrings.
Oh, boy.
Mike Zimmer said, in my heart, I believe that if he has better protection or consistent protection, that that's how you continue to get Kirk to play as well as he did last year, or even better.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think the other thing, which is already in place, more or less, is giving him a familiar system for the second year in a row, which, even though they've changed from Stefanski to Kubiak, is more or less going to be the same style of offense that suits him pretty well. You've got, you know, kind of all the established targets that he has. You've got Dalvin Cook in the backfield no matter what happens with his contract situation in 2020. You've got receivers. We don't know what's going to happen with Diggs, but let's assume they bring everybody back and everybody's healthy. You kind of know what you're running, and you know you've got a lot of people to run it well. So I think that's another piece of it, that he's comfortable coming into 2020 in a way that he probably hasn't been for a while.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about that enough, probably, the fact that this, even though it's a new coordinator, you know, you can add it to the statistic of however many and how many years for Kirk, and new play caller, technically.
Yeah.
Gary's voice was in his headset last year already anyway. It's not a new voice. It might be in terms of the amount he's going to be talking to Gary over, like he did last year with Kevin, but this is going to be the similar same system that they've been running. The changes being very minor compared to what Kirk has gone through in his whole NFL career.
Yeah, and when you come from Washington, which is perhaps the least stable place in the NFL.
You know change,
and to not have to go through it, I think, matters a lot for him. He's a guy that I think values stability.
Yes.
He likes to have things in his life. I mean, you just see this with the way he works. He likes to know what is coming his way. He wants to have stable, constant things around him. I think he works better. I think he feels like he works better when all of that stuff is fairly easy to plan for. So nothing in the NFL is going to be perfect that way, but I think the more you can keep things in front of him in a way that he doesn't have to go off script and play off schedule, you're going to be better off, because it's just not his game.
And I believe he said something, I don't know, he might have been on a podcast last year. I can't remember what he said.
Get off the podcast.
It was not on our podcast, but he might have said it's something to the effect of, we need to win because I want to stay here, or something like that. We need to win so I can stay here. I remember that.
He said things like
when they were struggling, it was when they were 2-2 maybe, that, you know, we need to win because, you know, he doesn't want to make it sound like he doesn't want to change teams, or he doesn't want to have to go through, you know, he'd like to get the extension here and keep building what he's got going.
Yeah, I think he's enjoyed being here. I think enjoys the community. It's reasonably close to home. You know, he's got relatives in Iowa. I think the culture reminds him of home in West Michigan. And so all of that stuff, you know, money tells the tale a lot of times, but all of those things, as you're trying to figure out where you want to be, play into it as well. And I think that has a lot, it matters a lot to him, and it weighs a lot in the Vikings corner if you are among those that want to see the Vikings sign him.
Yeah, I remember Kirk, when he took the visit here with his best friend in Minnesota when the Super Bowl was here, January 2018, February 2018.
He rented a car and drove around, right?
Yeah, and he talked about kind of going through Egan and going around the Vikings practice facility at the time, and just kind of, they said it just felt like home. You know, it didn't feel like going around D.C. in the Beltway. You know, it felt
having done both of those things, that is very true. Having lived in both of those places,
it felt a little different to that. So yeah, to your point, Ben, about how it's going to be about the money. They're going to drive a hard bargain to get him, for Kirk to sign an extension, but it just seems inevitable that it's going to get done.
Yeah, I would agree.
So when you see first round quarterbacks mocked to the Vikings, I do believe that they're doing work on this quarterback class and potentially looking to draft a backup and actually develop a guy, because Cousins might sign a 3-year deal and you might be back here. What if the extension's 3 years? And if you draft a guy, my point is that might be a guy then that you realize, hey, maybe that guy's an option if it's a third or fourth rounder who ends up being a backup.
Yeah, I mean, because at that point, Cousins will be 32 in August, I believe. So if you sign him for 3 years, you're not probably at the end of his career. I mean, quarterbacks play into their late 30s. Yeah. I don't know how long he wants to do it. He strikes me as a guy that says, I mean, I think he said he wants to play a long time.
I thought he's talked about more not pushing it into his, because we've had kind of just offhand conversations with him, joking like, hey, you're going to be like Brady playing into your 40s. And he always goes, like, I don't know. I got other things I like to do.
Yeah.
Like, he loves football, obviously, and what it does for him financially and his family and the game itself. But I don't know. I think he might be a guy where this 3-4 year deal, whatever it is,
I'm 35 and walk away.
Well, I don't know about that, but that might be
37, 38.
That might be the last big bite at the apple, regardless.
Yeah, could be.
Whereas you get guys like Rodgers who, you know, might have a chance to have another big bite at it at 38, where Cousins might not. You know?
Yeah, and just you haven't done it at as high of a level,
sure,
to the point,
correct,
where somebody's going to say, yeah, at 38, we're going to do it.
So what's fascinating about, I guess, the Vikings' draft position and quarterbacks is, do they break mold? Do they break the philosophy?
Right.
Do they draft a guy in the middle rounds and try to develop a backup, not unlike, you know, the Patriots have done for so many years behind Brady?
Because they haven't done that. They haven't drafted quarterbacks since Bridgewater in 2014 when he was a first rounder.
And in terms of guys they've drafted that they weren't planning to use or have compete for a job right away, what is it? It's John David Booty, right?
All-time name, yeah.
Yeah. J.D. Booty.
And that was a while ago.
It was like 06.
I think it was like 08.
Farther back.
Yeah, it was a while. 07. It was a while
Talk
ago.
About yourself.
Yeah,
I've got it up here. Hold on. I'll find it.
It was something like that. But to your guys' point, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, the Vikings have drafted the fewest non-first-round quarterbacks in the NFL next to the Atlanta Falcons in the last decade plus, whenever that John David Booty draft
Booty was 2008. They also drafted Tyler Thigpen in 2007.
Okay.
Seventh round.
So they got a couple
Booty
of them.
He was a fifth rounder. He was maybe more of a someone they thought that could become something.
But since Rick Spielman took full control of the front office and the draft, they don't do it.
All they do is draft a first round when they think they need a quarterback, which is, you know, hey, that's a way to do it.
So that's fascinating to me then. Do they bring in that kind of if they don't sign anybody, any kind of veteran? And here are your veteran backups available, just to tickle your fancy, Mike. Chase Daniel.
I'm tickled.
He beat them last year.
Hey.
The old
"he
beat us, we don't have to play him" thing, which is, I've never seen that go wrong ever.
Like Kevin Durant to the Warriors. Trevor Simeon.
Frank Jennings here.
Blaine Gabbert.
Trevor Simeon can come back.
Colt McCoy.
Ugh.
Jeff Driskel.
These are the same names every year.
AJ McCarron. Yeah, but these guys cash in. these are the names, though.
Is there a McCown? There's got to be a McCown.
Oh, yeah, there is. But I think he's like 100 years old.
He's like 40. Yeah, he's.
I think the Eagles dragged him out.
Yeah.
He knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs in 2003.
Man. It just sounds like the Vikings are going to move on from Sean Mannion.
Bring Trevor Simeon back?
Yeah. Mike Zimmer did not make it sound like that was the priority, was getting a Sean Mannion type back there, because they had that game week 17 where Sean had two turnovers, didn't play that well. He was playing with a number two offense against the Bears starters. So however much you can take away from that.
You know, they could get Kyle Sloter.
Kyle Sloter, is he available? He's probably available.
Sloterhouse. Someone like Chase Daniel would be fine. It's probably an upgrade over where they've been with Sean Mannion. But it's still not, I guess – What's the priority? How important is that really? Because don't a lot of teams, like the Packers, have kind of approached it like, well, if Rodgers gets hurt, our season's kind of cashed anyway. Like, if you've got a guy who's been pretty durable in Cousins, like we talked about, 5 years in a row has played every game he's been asked to play. I just don't see why the priority would be a guy who has to go in and play, unless you're just thinking, well, this is bound to end at some point, and we'd like to have somebody who could play if Kirk Cousins did get hurt.
This is a spot where, yeah, you're right, because some teams, I mean, you're screwed anyway, no matter what.
Yeah,
right?
You're not going to win the Super Bowl unless you get Nick Foles.
But if you're taking a fourth-round swing like the Cowboys did with Dak Prescott so many years ago, they're not thinking that they're getting Tony Romo's heir there, and then all of a sudden they did.
You back into it, yeah.
And so that's the thing with the Vikings, where if you're signing Kirk to an extension, it's not precluding you from finding a guy.
I don't think so.
And if you do find a guy, it's not precluding you from them using him 5 years down the road, four years down the road, when he would then be getting to that point.
Or trading him for, higher value later.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Sure.
We've seen that done over the years.
Right. It's easier said than done. But, yes,
Matt Schaub.
And while that happens, you have a very relatively cheap backup quarterback if he's good.
I like the idea.
They just haven't done it.
They have not done it. The one thing I would say, given some of the other ways that we've seen him exert influence, would be we should probably look at Gary Kubiak's history of doing this.
Yeah.
Because I do think We've even seen it this offseason. There have been some things that they typically would not do, like let assistant coaches out of their contracts.
Okay.
They changed that this year from what I've heard because he said, hey, we should think about doing this. If there's a coach that wants to go, we should let him take the opportunity to advance his career. They have not typically done that in recent years. So he's a guy that has a lot of respect. He's a Super Bowl winning head coach. Yeah. If he is in that room saying, you know, I really feel like we should draft a quarterback and let him develop, that I would think would have some weight.
Well, I decided to go back and look at the Texans draft classes from the years that he was head coach.
I made that point long enough to let you go look it up.
General manager.
He was not.
So, you know, you can kind of read between the lines here. But very few quarterbacks got drafted by the Texans under Gary Kubiak, the head coach.
We had traded for Shaw, seventh
round. I believe he was there 08 to 13, correct?
I think that's correct, yep.
So Alex Brink, 2008 seventh rounder, Alex Brink.
Always a big Alex Brink guy.
Yeah, maybe they get him.
T.J. Yates, 2011 fifth.
T.J. Yates, who actually had to start a playoff game for them?
I think that's true.
2011 fifth rounder. That's it.
Who was their starter then? Was that Schaub? The Schaub era? So, you know, Yates kind of became their backup.
See, he would have been in Denver probably when they drafted Simeon. I mean, he had kind of a weird run there where he was only back there for a couple of years and then was gone. But I think he was there for the first year of Simeon, yet it would have been the year after they won the Super Bowl after Manning retired. But, you know, so I guess they probably haven't done a ton of it, but if he felt like it was worth doing, I think that'd be the thing to keep in mind.
And Gary Kubiak's Texans did do a lot of his draft first-round defenders.
Mm.
Whole lot. Brian Cushing, Kareem Jackson, J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless.
A few of those guys worked out.
And DeAndre Hopkins is pretty good, too, though.
Yeah, a few of those guys worked
out. Yeah, so not an extensive history there, Mike, from whatever you can read into that. It's a good point, though, Ben, bringing up Gary Kubiak and the influence he's had there, because, yeah, is that going to change then maybe this philosophy? Maybe he's the one talking him in this offseason and saying, hey, we do need somebody. We'll find out, and we'll definitely update you guys at StarTribune.com throughout the offseason on all the Vikings moves, what they do at backup quarterback, whether or not Sean Mannion stays or goes, Kirk Cousins' contract situation, and all of the above.
And Jake Browning.
Where's Teddy Bridgewater going?
How's Teddy looking?
How's he looking? He's looking good.
Where is Teddy going? That's a good question.
Tampa Bay.
You think?
That's my guess.
TB and
Tampa Bay.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for checking out the podcast. Please check out all of our work at StarTribune.com. We will be talking secondary on Friday. Plenty to break down there. Defensive backs, cornerbacks, safeties, Xavier Rhodes, Anthony Harris, the whole bunch. We'll talk about that later in the week, and we'll have plenty in the newspaper and at StarTribune.com.
Maybe you should get off the podcast.